The words of Solomon, three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maiden. After the vernal equinox, the thoughts of young men turn to thoughts of love that cannot be restrained or adjusted by rational arguments. It's a sickness no inoculations can prevent, no remedy can heal. Solomon said he couldn't understand it. Things haven't advanced much since then. Matters of the heart just happened. The light of reason is lost in the murky depths of our emotions. And now we know that Solomon was right, that the way of a man with a maiden is a wonderful thing, but it is also a tragic thing. After the ecstasy of the romantic pursuit often comes the agony of rejection. All this is inappropriate in the pulpit, except we're talking about God. The Bible speaks of agape as God's pure, unmotivated love, but this is not entirely true. God waits for a return on his investment. Filial love is general friendship, but it cannot be all that bad, since the Father and the Son live in an eternal friendship. Besides, Abraham is called the friend of God, and it's good to have friends in high places. Low on the list is erotic love, but we should take a second look at that opinion, since the Holy Ghost inspired a book about it, and Hosea describes God as the rejected lover who goes off by himself in hope that Israel, his spouse, his lover, his wife, would come to her senses. Israel repents with crocodile tears. She always does. And rejects God over and over again. The Old Testament is about God being left standing at the altar. Apologetics correctly assumes that faith is a matter of the reason. But faith is also a matter of the determined will and the emotions of the heart. That's what Jesus said. We should love God with our whole heart. Paul said love was greater than hope and faith. And Luther put it all together, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Jesus said everything in the Old Testament hangs like the bed of a highway, suspended like a bridge between two towers of two cables, a love of loving God and loving our neighbors more than we love ourselves. Without reciprocal love, marriages fall. Where love for God and the neighbor fails, faith dies. Jesus asked Peter three times whether he loved him. This was not a primordial service of confession and absolution. It was an ordination. Asking the question once would have been enough. But God is the jealous lover who tolerates no other suitors or distractions from his ministers. Jesus' question to Peter was not new. It was only a rewording of the first commandment that God comes first. God as is consumed with love, and so must we. Love is a matter of the emotions, but then so is hatred. Because God did not accept his sacrifice, Cain was consumed with hatred for his brother, whose sacrifice God accepted. Hatred led to murder, and in Abel's death as both priest and sacrifice, Jesus saw his own death both as priest and sacrifice. If Satan and Cain were both overcome with an irrational hatred for God, so God is overcome with a raging love for us. In laying down his life for us, God showed he was not a restrained, transcendental sovereign, a detached deity, but with the boundless love by which he eternally begot his Son, he begot us as his sons and daughters so that we could become brothers of the eternal Son. From within that eternal movement in which God gives life to the Son, he offers up in death the Son who is life in himself, so that we who are destined to death can share in the life that belongs to God alone. God is the indefatigable lover whose life Hosea must reenact in his own life. This love is perfectly, quintessentially, finally, and completely realized in Jesus. These words take us to the final chapter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. But that's not the end. There's a sequel, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whatever else martyrdom is, it is participation in the Trinity by which we live and die with the Son, who in death made atonement for sin. God lays down his life for us. Now, whether or not martyrdom is in the cards for any of us as we approach the call service next week, we sacrifice ourselves now by living for others. At least that seems to be what John is saying. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. So love is not simply a matter of sanctification, but love is a matter of sharing in the Trinitarian life of God, who proves to us that he is the Father. Loving our neighbors as ourselves is more than motivation for good behavior. In saying that we should love our neighbors, Jesus was describing himself as the God who gave his life for us as his neighbors. But John's paraphrase will do. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We rise for the prayers.